Ladies and gentlemen, hey God, see, I will soon hit 100k subscribers. If I've not hit it already when you're watching this video, if you're not part of my first 100k subscribers, what will you tell God? That somebody was doing great content, but he refused to be part. Anyway, just subscribe. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my channel. And I know I said ladies and gentlemen, but today I want to do this for the guys. This is something that I've been praying about, and there are some things I've seen. There's some counseling I've done. There's some observations I've made. And I think that this video is very, 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 very important, both for people that might be in this situation and for people that are likely to be in this situation, which in this case is good, guys. If you are here, you are Yoruba demon. Anyway, you are delivered in the name of Jesus. You are delivered. Whatever tribe of demon you might be, you are delivered to become a good guy in Jesus' name. But this is primarily for guys who, well, they love the Lord. They have good character. Or at least they believe they have good character. So this is mistakes good guys make in relationships and in life. And if you think this video does not appeal to you, if you feel this video was not designed for you, you're wrong, because you're the very person that this video was designed for. I know that a lot of times I talk a lot to ladies, and then a lot of times I talk to both genders, but this one is for the gender of my beloved brothers. Like, you guys, you don't want to miss this video. Just first of all, like the video, comment. Before I even say anything, just comment and say, this video has changed my life. In the real comments. Not even in the live chat, in the real comment. This video has changed my life, because I trust me, it will change your life. So here goes, mistakes good guys make in life and in relationships. Let's go. The number one mistake many good guys make is unresolved trauma. See, I've observed so many things in this my small life. I'm still young, but one thing that shocked me is the difference between the way guys respond to trauma and the way ladies respond to trauma. Something like sexual abuse, for example, is something that sadly happens to both genders at an early age. Many guys are abused, and sadly, many girls are also abused as children. When a girl talks about going through abuse or trauma, or coming from an abusive home, you can see that she's in touch with her emotions. Maybe there are tears. She knows she needs help. She's trying to get counseling in. When a guy talks about it, more often than not, he says it like a joke. He might say things like, ah, that's how one auntie used to come to my room when I was 8. I've been in an office when I worked my full-time job with men in a room, and each of them were talking about the age they were when they lost their virginity. And I realized something. Almost all of them were children or teenagers, and they were all laughing about it, about some elderly auntie that came and started touching them inappropriately. But one thing I realize is that many times when guys find themselves in situations where maybe they have issues dealing with the opposite sex because they can't seem to stay faithful, or they're going from one girl to the other, they don't deal with their unresolved trauma. And that's the number one mistake that I believe good guys make. Because now you're saved, now you love the Lord, now you want to do the right thing. But some guys, see, don't even take it like I'm judging you, but some guys need therapy. Some of you need to look at the trauma you went through and say, maybe the reason why I can't trust women is because XYZ happened to me as a child. Maybe the reason why I have anger issues is because I never really saw my father being affectionate. Some of you need to really go back either to your childhood or to your teenagehood or to your young adulthood, and not bring the trauma back, but sometimes try to trace the things, that the behaviors you now have, with some things that might have occurred in your childhood, and deal with it. So I know that therapy is just beginning to gain small popularity in our part of the world, but I think more ladies actually open up than guys. So guys, deal with your trauma, even as a good guy. Because the truth is that, even as a good guy, you're going to get into situations in marriage and relationships where you are forced to look at your trauma in the face, where push comes to shove, your back is against the wall, And many times it is those hidden fears, those hidden insecurities, those hidden trauma. Those are the things that are going to come out. So, good guys, it is possible to still have unresolved trauma. Please open up and deal with it. I think another issue that good guys deal with is a lack of boundaries. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but have you realized that the person that is very likely to be in multiple talking stages? Ladies, if you're watching this, I know ladies will be here. The person that is likely to be in multiple talking stages, talking to this one, talking to that one, talking to this one, sometimes in the same church or the same fellowship or in the same school, is most likely a good guy. He's speaking in tongues. He loves the Lord. He's maybe even mentoring people. But for some reason, because of a lack of boundaries, he can spend time talking to Sister Amaka 2 hours on the phone. Spend another time talking to Sister Fumi another 2 hours on the phone. And just maybe saying things like, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. You're just the most amazing sister. You are such a good friend. I want my future wife to be like you. And sometimes, good guys are in a situation where they don't even like a girl like that. But because she's giving them attention, they give that attention back. But in their heart of hearts, they know they don't want to follow through with the relationship. Sometimes, that lack of boundaries puts them in a situation where they know they don't want to date you. But the reason why they've not told you they don't want to date you, wait though, is because they don't want to hurt you. So many times, good guys lack boundaries because they don't want to hurt the other person. But in a bid not to hurt this person, you might now end up leading them on, which now hurts them and hurts all involved as well. So it's one thing to be a good guy, but you must also have the wisdom to have boundaries. I remember listening to a guy talk one day about how he knew a girl really liked him and they would have conversations, go out on dates once in a while. But the more he investigated his feelings, the more he realized that he didn't feel the same way. And so eventually he had to call her and tell her, see, I don't like you in this way. Hey, sometimes there has to be a part of you as a good guy. In fact, for you to remain a good guy, sometimes you have to have, quote and unquote, a mean guy streak where you are clear about what you want and what you don't want so that you can truly remain a good guy and so that you don't hurt people. So many good guys lack boundaries, and many times it's because they don't want to hurt the other person. They want to just find a way to maybe let her down gently without hurting her feelings. But not all of them have learned to say no. And if you're a good guy who has not learned to say no, you're going to get into trouble soon. Whether you're single, whether you're married, you need to have those clear-cut boundaries. Not everybody's, my dear. Not every lady should call you my love. And you say, oh, well, she's just my friend. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Some things you nip in the bud almost immediately. So if you're a good guy, you need to establish and set boundaries. It's very, very important. And know that you cannot go through life without hurting people. So the important thing is to do the right thing. The important thing is to have those clear-cut boundaries. And the important thing is to make sure that even if you hurt someone by saying, look, I'm not interested in this way today, eventually you're actually helping them because they now know that you never took them for granted and that you valued them as a person or as a brother or as a sister. You know, Paul told Timothy, a good guy, he said, treat younger women as sisters. This is so powerful. He said, treat them all as potential wives. He said, treat younger women as sisters. So if you're a good guy and you're making a mistake of not having boundaries, this is a good time for you to have boundaries. Not everybody should be able to come into your house and cook for you. Not everybody should be able to collect money from you. And I need this. Boom, I need this. You're not a bank. So learning to have boundaries so that people don't take advantage of you and so that you also don't take advantage of people, I think that is very, very important for good guys. The third mistake that good guys make is what I call assumption of knowledge. You know, scriptures tell us to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. It means, quote and unquote, that there is a wisdom that doves don't have. I'm going to take that again. It means that there is a wisdom that doves don't have. So if you are a bad guy trying to turn good, maybe you've been in the world, now you want to change, you want to treat your future wife better, you want to be a better person for her, you want to be a better person for your family, there are some things you're going to put in place. You're going to read those relationship books. You're going to get pastored. You're going to speak to a mentor. You're going to try to do better because you know where you're coming from. You don't want to make the same mistakes you've been making before, and so now you want to do better. But the problem with good guys is that there is an assumption of knowledge. There's an assumption that since I'm a good person, how to build a good relationship will automatically flow to me. Since I'm a good person, I don't need to be accountable to anybody. Since I'm a good person, I don't really need mentorship like that. There's nothing they want to tell me that I don't know. But the truth is that if you enter or if you go about life saying there are things I don't know that I need to learn, even as a good guy, if as a good guy you are focused on getting wisdom. You know, one very interesting thing about the foolish virgins is that they were virgins. So there was a purity about them, but there was a wisdom that they lacked. So in all your purity, you must make sure that you get wisdom. Wisdom on how to navigate the single life. Some good guys are too naive. A lady just says, oh, I don't have a place. So you're like, oh, my house is empty. Come and stay. You've not even thought, like, you've not even, Or you're just meeting someone for the first time. The next thing, you've gone to their house. The reason why I have this really passionate burden about guys is I've seen situations where guys were ruined. And this is not all situations, that some guys are bad. But I've also seen situations where guys were ruined in their lives, in their career, in their businesses, not even because they were bad, but because they were naive. But because they were naive. So as a good guy, you really need to wisen up. You really need to wisen up so that you don't have a situation where you invite a lady to your apartment and then you barely even know this person and she's sleeping over. If tomorrow she accuses you of something, who are they going to believe? So if you're going to keep your integrity, you must use your head. Not that, oh, she didn't have a place to stay, she was homeless. You're not Father Christmas, you're not Salvation Army. So learning to be kind is very, very important. So in your kindness, you must use wisdom. You must seek to buy the truth and sell it not. You must read everything you can about life, about relationships. Your friends that are experienced in different areas of life, have that conversation with them. If you're a good guy, don't just assume that your marriage is going to work. Now you've married, you're a good guy, your marriage is going to work. You need to get that wisdom in. So read the books, ask the questions, and be observant about life. There is a self-awareness you ought to have. Some of you like a girl, she's not even had a conversation with you. You're already sending money. Calm down. So as a good guy, please be intentional in gaining wisdom, asking questions, being situationally aware and aware of yourself, self-awareness, but also aware of your environment, and that will help you to make less mistakes. It also means that even in your relationship with other guys, you must also be wise. You must also be wise. Not let's go and drink, you have gone. Let's toast this girl, you have done. Let's remove our cuts. Please. See, one of the best things you can do for yourself is to have a healthy self-esteem and a healthy confidence such that people in your life don't need you to prove who you are to them because you already know who you are to yourself. I think that is so important. Another mistake that good guys make, assumption of strength. Ask Samson. In his mind, he was the strongest person in the world, and indeed he was. But the truth is that even the strongest people need a place to take off their armor. And so if you've not learned that there are times where you're going to be weak as a good guy, you know, there's an overconfidence you can have when things are working well for you in life. Business is working, you are fine, good relationship, or at least good potential relationship. There's an overconfidence you have where you just assume that you are made of steel. But the truth is that in your strength, you might be wearing an armor made of steel. But there are parts of that armor that are not as strong as you think. Samson said, no problem. Whenever the Philistines come, I will just free myself like I normally do. Only that he rested his head in the wrong place. And if you assume that you are so strong, you might end up resting your head in the wrong place, either with the wrong lady or with the wrong friends or by making the wrong decisions. So you need to take heed to yourself. You know, personal experience, when I had my daughters, I remember saying, hey, God, like, I knew that when I have daughters, I needed to be intentional about raising them, making sure they made the right decisions. But I now realize that I think my paranoia for my son was more. Because I'm like, first of all, this boy is fine. Secondly, he's going to be successful in life. So I remember telling my husband, oh my God, I really need to pray about who this guy will marry. And in that's the same way he would. And the boy is one. He's 1 year old. And I could. So for girls, I always knew you have to be more intentional. You have to be more careful. But for boys, I think it was not a new fear, but it was a new discovery unlocked that you have to even be more intentional about raising boys. So even though you are strong, don't assume that you are all strength. And when you don't assume that you're all strength, you are able to be vulnerable with people. Some of you, there are things you're struggling with. You're not opening up to anybody, but everybody's opening up to you. Some guys, they would have issues in their health. They won't tell their spouses. Some married men might have issues in their sexuality. They won't tell their friends. They won't tell their spouse. They will go and order one medicine online that might be bad for their health. If you're a man and you're watching this, we appreciate your strength. We like the fact that you can go to the ends of the earth for us. We love it. But if you're going to remain strong, you need to remain vulnerable. I'm not just vulnerable to everybody at every time, but you need to have safe spaces where you are vulnerable. Because if you don't intentionally show your vulnerability to the right people, eventually you will expose it to the wrong people at the wrong time. So, as a strong man, don't make the assumption that you can do life alone in the community of other God-fearing men, both older, your age, and maybe even younger. And God will help you. But don't assume that showing weakness is weakness. Because everybody does have an area of weakness. But really learning to show your vulnerability in safe spaces so that you can be stronger. Because every strong man needs a place to take off his armor. And I'm praying you find the right place in Jesus' name. If you're a good guy, another thing you should be wary of is peer pressure. I've seen situations both in real life and situations maybe on TV where in some movies I watch where somebody was gang raped and there's somebody there that did not want to be a part of it, but they told him he's a sissy if he did it. If you are watching this and you cannot boldly tell your friends, I'm a virgin or I'm waiting until marriage for sex, you're not as grown as you think. So one of the best things you can do for yourself is to be able to stand up for what is right, even when it's unpopular. And if you allow peer pressure will pressure you out of your destiny. So the thing about good guys is sometimes you have good guys who don't want to admit that they are good. I remember my husband gave an example of how when he was in secondary school, I think he wanted to go and do something bad. And he was like, he was trying to feel among us. He said, no, you're not part of us. And he said, But by the mercy of God, they didn't allow him to join them. So, as a good guy, you must also be wary of peer pressure. The ability to say no is so important. You know, two examples come to mind. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam had become king. And the people came to meet him and said, your father made life difficult for us. Please make things easy for us. So, he asked the elders, and the other said, see, if you make things easy for these people, they will serve you for life. But then he now went to ask his friend. His friend said, tell them. They were giving him kutibu coats. He said, tell them that my tiny finger will be like my father's waist. Like, what's that? And so that was one of the reasons why the kingdom did not last in his hands, because of the wrong friends. What about the story of Amnon and Jonadab? That one liked his sister, took advice on the wrong person, and said, okay, this is what you're going to do to get in bed with your sister. If you have people giving you bad advice, please run away from them. And as much as possible, be your own man. And sometimes being your own man means that you are standing up for what is right, even when it's not popular. But as a good guy, as much as possible, avoid peer pressure, right? The truth is that you can be big and strong, have beards and muscles and a thick voice, but still be very easily impressionable. Still be in situations where people can make you say things you don't want to say, or make you do things you don't want to do, or make you agree with things you don't want to agree with. And so if internally you have that struggle, deal with it today. next mistake that good guys make. And I wasn't too sure how to put this, so I called it the pressure of expectations. If you're watching this and you're a first son, or you're an only son, or you're a son, there are so many expectations that are placed on you. Have you ever had a day where you had so many things to do? And because you had so many things to do, hear me, you did nothing. Because you looked at it and you were like, ah, where do I start from? So even if you had maybe 50% of those things, you would have done them and at least made progress. But now the things are so many, they're so overwhelming. And for many men, they face this pressure of people's expectations. Expectations from your parents. Many of you, you are watching this, you see what your friends are doing. You know, I was speaking to a young man who said that he almost got into Yao Yao. And he was asking himself, how did I get here? He said, what even saved him? It was not even as if he had like a eureka moment. He said he looked at his life. He looked at the house he was living in. Realized my parents are well-to-do. I have the opportunity for a good education. Why am I trying to learn this Yao Yao? And that was how he stopped. That was how God intervened. So there are guys who are watching this and like, this person got married at 30 or got married before 30, made their first billion at 33. What am I doing with my life? You are God's son. That's what you are doing with your life. So I feel like many men, my brothers, need to save themselves from the pressure of expectations. It doesn't mean that you're not dreaming big. It doesn't mean that you're not putting your best foot forward. But you must also know that the same way it is Christ that defines who we are as women, it is Christ that defines who you are as a man. Not your looks, not your finances, not your accomplishments, even with your accomplishments, not that. When you understand that, when there are seasons of your life where things are not going so well, you are able to bring yourself back home and say, God, at the basis of it, I'm your son, and that's all that matters. When you understand that, when things are going well, you will say, I will break this band and build bigger bands and assume that it is money that defines you. When things are going well, you will say, I will just keep marrying one wife per day, assuming that it is a pleasure that defines you. When you are in pain, you will just assume that the only way to deal with it is to end it. No, because you know that at the basis of it, Christ defines you. And so you can find your essence in him. And so I'm hoping that good guys will be delivered from the pressure of expectations. From the pressure of, and I will balance this one, from the pressure of this kind of person you ought to marry. Not that you go and marry one slick queen. I does not believe in just like you say, as a good guy, I'm delivering myself from pressure. You are going from frying pan to fire. But when it comes down to it, are there things you're going to do that are expected of you? Yes. But your why must be because you want to obey God and be who he has called you to be. And learn not to define yourself by the things you have accomplished or will accomplish. Okay, good guys. Another mistake that I think good guys make is that they lack healthy emotional outlets. You know, ladies, many of us can sit down, talk about our feelings, stuff we are going through. My brothers, not so much. So I'm not even saying you must carry tissue like us and cry it out. But I think that from a young age, you guys have been told men don't cry. And so many times what should be pain is converted to anger. What should be pain is converted to neglect. You just neglect the pain and you become an avoidant personality, running away from issues because you've not really learned. You know, when I counsel women and they say my husband behaved XYZ way, one of the things I tell them is, I'm not saying that this person shouldn't be responsible, but he probably didn't grow up in a home where he saw his father kiss his mom. He probably didn't grow up in a home where maybe his father was even faithful. He probably didn't even grow up in a home where his father hugged him and told him, I love you. And so that's why the first thing I talked about was trauma. Many guys are dealing with that trauma. So identifying it is a good place to start. It's a good place to start. But I think that as a man, you should have healthy emotional outlets. It doesn't have to be extreme where you're always crying at the drop of a hat. But something, see, among friends, healthy emotional outlets. In your family, healthy emotional outlets. You know, I was watching a video, although this was from a lady, but it was because she had grown up in an Asian household and they were not very expressive. And she said as an adult, she decided that she was going to tell her parents, she wanted them to start saying, I love you. in adulthood. And so she would say, she said, you know what, I want us to start saying it. And they started practicing it. So some of you need to go back and tell your dads, Daddy, I love you. So I grew up in a very expressive home. So when I got married, I transferred it. So I remember the first time I told my father-in-law, Daddy, I love you. And then he said, oh, God bless you. I said, no, Daddy, I love you. And my father is such a great guy anyways. I said, oh, okay, I love you too. And now, I think over time, it's become something that we are very comfortable saying. So whatever has happened, show yourself grace. Show your family grace. But intentionally have those healthy emotional outlets. My final point would be that many good guys are not particular about breaking generational patterns. Ah, PL, are you not a great speaker? I am. And one thing I've learned is that sometimes what we see as generational curses are not always, sometimes are there curses, is there wickedness? Is it caused by demons and witches and wizards? Yes. But sometimes some things are not generational curses, but they're generational patterns. I'll give an example. Let's assume that there is a family where maybe people don't get married early. There is a tendency to assume that in this family, there is a spiritual thing. That's possible. But it's also possible that the same behavioral patterns that made the aunties not to get married early were picked up by the nieces who grew up with them. That independence, no man can talk to me mindset. So many times, these patterns are not passed down spiritually. They are passed down as behavior. For example, and the truth is that ladies are more conscious of things like this than guys. A lady can say, ah, my aunties didn't get married on time, or their marriages didn't work. Then, my mom. Then, and they're able to pick it and say, ah, it's something I need to pray about and be intentional about. Right? But think about it. If there is a guy in Nigeria today, it is very likely that he is either the first person to have a monogamous marriage, or the second person to have a monogamous marriage in his lineage. Think about that. He's either the first or the second person to have one wife in his lineage. So it means that if you're a guy walking around today, your grandfather probably had more than one wife in Nigeria. Think about that. So it means that your own dad did not even grow up in a situation where he even saw his father be faithful to one woman. But maybe by God's grace, your dad had one wife. But there are elements he must have picked up from his own dad that even though he's in a monogamous situation, he's not fully the 100% kind of husband he ought to be. And you guys know what I'm talking about. So when we talk about patterns passed on from generation to generation, can it be passed on spiritually? Yes. But many times it is a mindset. And when a mindset is being communicated to you, you're not writing it down. Don't be faithful because your father was not faithful. No. It is embedded many times into your psyche. And so you must intentionally, I'll say that again, you must intentionally be aware of patterns like that and seek to break them, not just in the place of prayer, but also based on your mindset. When people say things like, don't trust women, your wife is not your family, imagine the kind of household that kind of man must have grown up in. You know, I was speaking to someone who was mentioning, he said, the reason why I'm like this in my marriage is because you need to understand the way I grew up. And I appreciated the fact that he was able to trace it to the way he grew up. When I told him something, I said, when 25 years from now, your son is sitting on the counseling table, do you want him to say the same thing you are saying? So even though you need to be cognizant of the patterns that came before you, you must also be cognizant of the fact that you are building a new pattern going forward. How do I want my son to love his wife? Can you see now? How do I want my daughters to understand love? So whatever it is that you are doing as a man, it can affect people for generations. There are ladies whose destinies have been ruined because of the way their fathers treated them. There are men whose destinies have been ruined because of the way their fathers treated them. So I'm asking you, what kind of destinies do you want to shape with your lineage? And so as a good guy, you must be conscious of these patterns. And say, ah, my father had this anger problem, I'm not going to have it. Or my father was lazy, and my mom was the one doing everything, bringing in the bread and also baking the bread. That will not be me. Or, you know, there are some people that, somebody was giving an example of how his dad only cares about school fees. My father does not like to have a conversation with me. He doesn't even know me. All he cares about is paying my school fees. And I said, you have to understand, when your father was younger, his own father didn't even care about school fees. His own father told him and his mother to go and fend for themselves. So in his mind, he was like, when I grow up, I will make sure that my own children don't worry about what? School fees. And so now, school fees is the way he perceives love. So what we need to do is not just to blame the older generation, but to seek to really build on what maybe they've done well and take out what they've not done well and seek to be better for the sake of our children. If you're a man in the house here, I know that there are lots of responsibilities placed on you, but there is also a lot of grace. God will not ask you to be someone he has not made you to be, and God will not ask you to do something he has not prepared for you to do. So I'm praying for you today that there is strength and grace for you to be the leader that God has called you to be. Strength and grace to break generational patterns, to overcome past trauma, to overcome peer pressure, and to do things God's way. As you man up, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching, and don't forget to subscribe. God bless you.